Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
You know how many
Hold
times
on, Liz.
People you know how many times people have played that to me?
I wanna play it in the live stream, hold on. Let's just okay, I guess it stopped when I move it. I put you in the live stream. You don't have to do or say anything. I just wanted to welcome you to the Fakeologist web Discord server.
Yeah, and I was on your other one and it just went away.
Yeah, it got flushed.
Yeah.
Let's play it again. I just wanted to introduce you, but I got to start over again and play my favorite Linda thing. Let's see. Maybe this one is a little more to the point. But yeah, you were on the other one. Play number two. Let's try.
He's your little pop-up, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, lick at him. Right now, they can't do anything if we can't get everything out of this wall. If we can break everything down.
I'm not breaking anything down. I'm just letting you know
Linda,
you cannot have cupcakes for dinner.
Linda, like this thing, I never belong to you. Anything, you can get anything.
I'm done arguing with you.
I'm done arguing with you.
You need to listen to the things that I say, because I'm the mom and I'm the adult.
Listen to me. All the time to get them this thing.
I'm done arguing with you.
Linda, I'm done arguing with you.
Okay. All right. That was my way of welcoming you. Oh, hold on a sec. Yeah, turn that off. Hold on a sec. Stop. There. Stop. Yeah. Okay. Hi, Linda. I just wanted to use the Linda. That's one of my favorite fluffy YouTube videos of all time. That just shows how little children mimic adults, and they don't. I don't think a 3 really know what you're saying, but maybe he's a genius. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that little kid's great.
So when that came out, did they start people you know start playing that to you?
I worked at a lumber company for 12 years. And we had some Mexicans there that I got to know very well. Oh, yeah. As soon as that hit the internet, they were in there playing it for me. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah, there's a similar thing.
And, yeah. Yeah, and they'd come in the office because I did all the purchasing, and they would ask, you know, they would have me buy things for their departments or whatever. And it was hilarious because if I said they couldn't have this one, but I would get them a cheaper brand or something like that. They'd be, but Linda.
Linda. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Linda is a very common name anymore. I don't think it's common. My cousin is named Linda, but she's from the old days, age-wise.
I'm probably from the old days, but I would never tell anybody that.
Yeah, well, there's certain things you can't hide, like the timbre in your voice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, sounds do betray us.
Yeah.
I don't think I have an old man's voice yet, but I listen to my dad. He sounds a lot like his dad now, and he's almost 80. So I hear the parents. I think when you hit your 70s, that's when the sort of the sound, the old person sound starts. You can't really tell in your 50s. But anyway,
and some people, I don't, I mean, I've known a few people that have never lost it. I mean, never lost their young yeah. voice.
All right.
So,
but where are y'all from? And
oh.
where are y'all from?
I'm from Ohio.
Oh, Ohio.
Yep. I'm down
you,
close to the
what's
river.
What's your? Oh, Cincy. You're Cincy.
No,
is that the river?
I'm in a little. I'm in a little small town. The way I like it. Not near a big
I almost
city or
went
anything.
To. I almost went to Ohio because my uncle was buried outside of Cincy in some small little town, but I didn't end up going because I was too greedy for money. Just where I couldn't get off of work, basically, but I almost drove there. I don't think I've ever
There's a lot of nice scenic routes in Ohio.
Oh, it's a great state. Well, it'll be easy to go there. Well, it won't be easy to go there in the future because you're part of the Great Lakes mega region. Are you guys locked down right now?
No. No, we're not.
How would
no,
you
and
know
I've
that...
I've never had to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So.
Really? So you guys are getting off you guys are getting off lightly.
Yeah. Well, this region is like half and half as far as the political aspect goes. So just like the nation, it's, you know, the Republicans don't want the mask, don't want the vax. And the Dems want it, so it's half
yeah, is
and half.
It really,
so.
Is it really half and half politically, do you think? Because
yeah,
I don't see too many Republicans that are, they still believe in the virus. They still believe in contagion. Trump certainly was a vaxxer. There's no doubt in my mind, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, but
can it really be divided that way?
Yeah, it can here because I'm in redneck country. So.
All right. So you're not in a city?
Mm-mm. No.
So let me get, there's three major cities in Ohio, Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincy.
Yep.
So where are you closest to?
Well, I'm 2 hours away from Columbus and I'm 2 hours away from Cincinnati. I want to
okay.
give you my
that's a big,
actual location.
No, it's a big state. So you're more in the south of, you're the southern half of the state.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't need to know. I don't know Ohio that well. And, but
yeah,
I follow Pam Popper a little bit, and she's in Columbus. And she's quite outspoken against your governor. So it sounds like your governor is a COVIDian.
Oh, yeah. And he's Republican, but he governs Democratic.
Yeah.
So
see,
even the Republicans hate him. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I meant. That's why I thought, does it really fall along party lines? Because he's a Republican. He's acting just like a COVIDian, which I don't think this is not a left-right issue. And if people
oh, no,
need
no,
to
but
drop...
they put it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they put it there mm-hmm. with the way they rolled it out. It's like...
Yeah,
that's
because people understand that divide. They don't understand
yeah.
the COVIDian, non-COVIDian, China class, non-China class.
Right, right.
Like the
no,
United
I'm...
States. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Do you agree with me? Because I think you've been around for a while on these channels.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me that the United States is being set up for destruction?
I think it's already being destructed.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I've talked about this on IPS's Discord before that there were some reports that came out like in 2019 that
mm-hmm.
we were basically owned by China, but
yes.
nobody wanted to have that out there. And but I mean, I don't even know if I believe that. I think there's a one world order.
Do.
I think there's a one world
no,
order. We don't know who's in charge of it. But I think it's taking place right now to where I have questions about Biden actually being president, even if he's actually in the White House.
Yeah, me too.
So it's like
I think he's
just...
the illegitimate president. It doesn't matter if he got voted in. He is the president.
Right.
So I think he is the president. I don't think he won. I think they made it so you know he didn't win. So it's really in your face and saying, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, but all
that's
this
really...
stuff is, yeah, all this stuff is in our face to make people think,
yeah,
what are you going to do about it? And they do nothing. They
yeah
never do.
Right. Right.
But I mean,
exactly,
getting back to my point about rulers that be or whatever, my question would be, do you think that they have turned it over to the world powers and they're just not telling us yet, and this is how they're slowly weaning us onto it, and then someday they're going to come out and say, oh, by the way, but you've already accepted it, so there's nothing you can do about it?
Well, I think that there is a China class in the United States. They've turned a significant number of the elite over to the China class. That's what it's called. That's what Vox Populi called it. I think it's a great way of labeling it. These people are on board because of the money. They're promised riches. And they are implementing the Chinification of the Five Eyes nations, including the United States and Canada. That's
well,
what's happening right now.
Right,
it's happening
but,
right now.
Right. I mean, I agree with you on that. But if you look back in what they did with the first trade agreements and all that stuff with China, they made China. They created
yeah
the China, and now they're tossing
right
it back on us. But they look innocent. The United States looks innocent. You see what I mean? And if
well,
you're
I
in
think
the political realm, you're going to think America is innocent, even though they created China just to bring it back on us one day and say, this is how you're going to live, just like them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I would say the European elite with all the money, that have had all the money for hundreds of years, the Venetians, the Phoenicians, whatever you want to call the Sabbatean Franks, the people with all the gold, the quadrillions, the United States is a British project. And they hide behind the crown. They hide behind the Judaism. They hide behind these fronts. And that way it looks like the British or the Jews. But it's just the super elite with all the money, the trading money from 100 to 300 years ago. They made the United States. They turned it from an agrarian economy into manufacturing. And then as soon as it became too expensive, they literally shipped the jobs over to China and did the exact same thing with them, took them off the land, took them from being a poor agrarian economy into a manufacturing economy.
Right, and they
and
took our manufacturing economy away.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Americans went over to China to train those people how to do their jobs.
Right.
I know people, and all the top highly skilled engineers have been in China from the Five Eyes nations for the last 10 years building things they could never build over here. Highways, factories, apartment buildings, skyscrapers. They're all over there now. They've
right
been there for 10 years building China.
Well, they've been there longer than that because
20 years.
My dad was young in the 1950s, so this county that I'm in had a steel mill that pretty much hired the majority of the county, other than
right
you know, the schools and the teachers and, you know,
yeah
regular jobs or
sure
whatever. But they sent that overseas, and they
yeah
blamed that the unions came in back then because my dad was against the unions, and I remember him talking about it when I was young. But they came in and did their, for safety reasons, shut it down.
Right.
Eventually. And it went overseas.
Right.
And then
well,
this place.
The real reason is always money.
Yeah, but they've been taking, like, back in the 50s, I mean, from the stories my dad told me, there used to be like 75,000 people in this county. And there's probably not even half of that here now.
The 50s was the peak of American manufacturing in the Great Lakes region. The peak. That was the apex. The decline started in the 60s, slowly.
Yeah.
But the apex, I believe, was the 50s. Especially around the Great Lakes region. Automotive, yeah.
Yeah, there was a shoe factory here. There was there was all sorts of things.
Yeah. We made everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Now we make nothing.
Yeah.
Except trouble. And the idle idle hands are the devil's tool.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's funny to look back on it, because at the same time they were destroying manufacturing jobs, they were turning kids into technological workers.
Okay.
By telling them they needed to go to college to find a job. Sorry about my dog.
It's okay. Down boy.
He's really old, and he's got congestive heart failure, so he breathes pretty
heavy.
Right.
Okay. That's all right. Tell him don't take the vax. And he'll survive.
But I watched all this happen, well, at least in my county.
Yeah.
And then when you go back to look at it, it's like, you can see the script of it, what they did.
Yeah. But was it scripted, or was it just the natural evolution that industry builds up, it gets wealthy, people want more, they want a bigger share, and then it becomes unprofitable to run it, especially in a worldwide market where you have people with absolutely zero on the other side of the world.
I don't think so. I don't think that's what actually happened. I think they purposefully destroyed the manufacturing jobs here to probably affect the dollar. So when they sent it over there and they have their sweatshops over there and everything got cheaper, they were also inflating the dollar over here so we could afford that stuff.
Right. Well, I think that's a little simplistic. I think... I don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Do the high wages drive the jobs out? How's that related to the dollar and inflation and all that kind of... I just think it's a natural progression. The industry builds up, then you look for new markets, because as people get richer, they don't spend as much.
But the companies...
To become richer,
Right, but the companies here that were shut down were all shut down by the unions for safety reasons. I mean, that's how eventually it went. And the owners basically shut them down because they couldn't afford the union, to be involved anymore.
Yeah, but I don't really blame the unions. The unions don't run the companies. I know they can make things miserable, but ultimately they don't run the place. But
they drive the wages up. And I can tell you that my dad was a truck driver back in the day. And he made
hold
like
on,
18
one sec. Hold on.
Oh yeah, the mask goes on. Long after the threat of Rona is gone. Said, oh yeah, we'll never take it off. Long after the spread of Rona is gone, they mask on.
If love makes the world go round, a pandemic can bring it to a standstill.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, so your dad's a truck driver. Well, guess what? I'm a Teamster truck driver, too, in 2021. And
no,
my wages haven't gone anywhere in 10 years.
Right, but my dad, I mean, it sounds like not very good money, but back then, $18 an hour was a lot of money. And he raised 5 kids on it. That's how
what
much
year was
the
that?
Dollar was worth.
60s.
Yeah, 60s. I mean, we weren't all born in the 60s, but I mean...
$18 was a lot of money, and the dollar was more powerful. I agree with that. I agree.
Yeah.
And guess
and
what?
Then
the wage hasn't gone anywhere since.
Right. That's what I'm
Not
saying.
Really.
I think that was planned. I think that part was planned for wages not to go up and everybody to get poorer. Because back then, people making that kind of money, they weren't rich, but they weren't poor. They weren't... They had everything.
They had what they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And today...
You had what you needed, plus you got a holiday once a year.
Yeah. But you could afford Christmas. You could afford, to go out and eat. You could afford to go to King Island or, you know, whatever. And today, unless you have a really good job, the average family is not going to be able to do that.
I agree. Even in a small town?
I mean, there's a few people here that have always been rich, I guess. And they still are.
where you are, without telling what town you're in, Central Ohio, what would a three-bedroom house sell for?
It depends on the location. But I'd say about, some of them sell for $120,000 and some of them sell for $80,000. It just depends on where they're located, how close they are to other houses.
$80,000 for a three-bedroom? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, where I live, a three-bedroom house in Toronto is closing in on $1 million.
Oh, wow. See, I would not want to live there.
Well, I know, but where my grandfather's from in Michigan, I could buy his house and put on my visa. So that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
I could put on my visa. I'd have to get my visa upgraded, but I could probably do it for a couple months, put on my visa. I think it was $70,000, like you said. Now, I wouldn't really want to live there because it's just not the best area. Wasn't even the best area back then. It was all working class people. There's nothing wrong with them, but I'm not sure that price today is exactly where I want to be. But
right.
It's another blue-collar town that probably has a larger disparity between rich and poor because there is no middle. The middle's hollowed out, gone.
We have areas.
Because there are. Yeah.
We have areas in this county that's considered, you know, rich, I guess. But they're not huge. I mean, the houses might be worth $300,000.
Yes. Yeah, well, we have Mega City itis here in Toronto, so we are, we're in a bubble on, like, I don't know where the real, I think the real estate bubble's in Los Angeles, probably New York City. I don't know about Chicago. Probably nowhere in Ohio or Michigan, but it's different. It's crazy what's going on.
Yep.
But there's many reasons for that. I think everything is going towards the mega cities, and Toronto is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I want to avoid the mega cities. Don't want to be in one.
Yeah.
They'll end up being smart
in the
cities
right
and electric cars, and who knows how far they'll take that.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can just look it up and see what they want. That's what's going on. Just, I guess in the United States, the best city to watch is New York City because they're destroying New York City so they can rebuild it back up with their trillions of dollars, and they will remodel it the way they want. There will be no cars in New York City. The ones they will allow will be pure electric. Everyone will be stuck on the subway. That's what a mega city is going to be in the future.
Yeah, and
you
can
just
to ride the underground monorails or
subway.
Whatever they call them. Yeah.
Subways.
Well, whatever Tesla's building. Elon Musk and his super fast trains or whatever he calls them.
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't follow that clown. He's just another actor for me, but
represent. He is for me too, but I think they're actually trying to build this stuff, whether he's involved in it or not. But
yes. Well, you look to China to see what's being built, because we don't see everything that's being built in China. The cars, the electric cars, they're not even brought over here yet. For some reason, they've been able to. They've agreed. I think the unions have kept the Chinese cars out, but I think they're on the same or higher level than the Tesla, the Chinese electric cars. We don't even hear about them. So there's so much we don't hear about. Like,
right.
Do you believe that they build 6,000 miles of interstate a year in China?
I don't know. Possibly.
But have you ever heard of that?
No.
I know. Does that blow you away? Does that blow your mind? It does. It blows my mind.
I mean, if they're actually doing it, I guess. But, I mean, years ago, we heard about this super highway from Texas to Canada, or from Mexico to Canada. I haven't heard about that for a while.
The free trade highway, yeah.
Went away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think that was eventually supposed to be for electric cars, or self-driving cars, maybe.
Yeah. I think it would have been more to accommodate the free trade highway, the cheap labor in Mexico, and distribute it like a spine throughout North America, the goods. I think that was the purpose. I don't think anyone's taking an electric car from Mexico to Canada. That doesn't make any sense. I think it was more just to imagine a trade route, but none of those things are happening.
I think they eventually just don't want us to drive. Once they get all these smart cities, you'll be
living in a box in a megacity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You won't even be able to buy land outside the city. Wherever you are, they'll clear that. They want to wild that area in between cities. There will be no one living in between the mega cities, except animals, wild animals. That's what they want.
Yeah, they'll build the pods like they did over in China.
Yeah.
The stacked pod people. Well, it's been great.
That's a 100-year plan.
Yeah. And they've got time, I guess. They just keep passing it on to the next generation of their bloodlines, I guess.
Oh, yeah, sure. The China class. Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. But the Chinification of Canada is happening faster. And some guy told me yesterday he thinks that the United States may invade Canada because the Chinese army is already in Canada right now, guarding their resource extraction infrastructure. Like, the Chinese are already building their own infrastructure like they do in Africa to take our oil out of Alberta. Did you know that?
No, but, I mean, do you know that to be true? Have you seen it? Or is this just stories?
No, he went there. Patrick King went there. He's put his neck up on the line. He videoed and looked it up. For instance, the seaport in British Columbia is owned by the United Arab Emirates. So Canada doesn't even own the largest container port on the West Coast. I think it's going to be bigger than Los Angeles and Vancouver. So we don't even own the port. Our Prime Minister banned Canadian vessels from the port. So they're all foreign vessels. There are no Canadians building the pipeline. They've put work camps there, and they're full of Irish and Chinese. So there's no Canadians, and all the materiel is being brought over from China for the construction.
Well, if that's happening there, I just wonder if, I mean, they've talked about here in the United States that the ports are clogged up with containers that can't be moved, this and that, because of COVID. I just wonder if that's just China's taking over that too, and they're just saying it's COVID.
Definitely. It's clear that the center of the center of the world for commerce is China. So every country in the world will just feed China. So every infrastructure project in every country will be used to feed China.
I know that the containers that we use to ship out lumber at the company I worked for before, all the containers came from China.
Right.
Like, you couldn't get a container not from China.
That's the other thing. We can't ship lumber within Canada because they say it brings different pests and bugs in between areas of Canada, so they don't want to ship the lumber. But all the raw lumber is being shipped to China and processed. And then it comes back from China as processed wood. So they take the raw materials, they load them onto the Chinese ships in United Arab Emirate ports that are in Canada. And then, so we get none of the manufacturing process. Literally, they're just taking the raw material.
They're taking logs. Because that was happening when I still worked at that company, that they were buying up all the logs and they were paying top dollar for them. And so they were basically depleting all the lumber company supplies in America resources because the loggers are going to sell to the highest bidder. And I don't blame them for that.
Yeah, but it's unfair trade because they have slaves processing the logs.
Right.
That's the problem. So that's unfair trade by anyone's standard. And, of course, so really all the rich countries, are their only use is their raw material. So all the processing, the raw material, is done in China. So they get all the benefit. We get none.
At one point, China put a tariff on America for certain goods, and America went and put a tariff on lumber. China put a tariff on the logs and the lumber shipping to China, and I don't know why that was, because they were buying it all. But then they put this tariff on there, so then that just, tossed up all the lumber companies around here. To where they didn't, that's where they were making their money, and then they had to basically not be able to do it because of the tariff. And then it finally got lowered, and I think they're back in business.
Well, the thing is, tariffs are not going to bring all the manufacturing jobs back in a fast enough way to make a difference. I mean, literally, the only way they can start manufacturing, if the first world countries want it back, which I'm not sure they do, is they'd have to just stop all trade and bring all manufacturing back. They'd have to stop free trade, because it's obviously been, it was a good idea, but it got ruined by just super wealthy multinational corporations that are controlled by a few people.
Right.
And that's the problem.
But
it doesn't work.
I think these multinational companies, they wanted it that way because,
Of course. Of course.
Now they're global, so, I think that's where it's eventually gone. I don't know how many years it's going to take, but there'll be a handful of companies, that run the world.
Right. And the government already is saying, listen, we can't mandate masks because we don't control the states in the United States, but we won't stop the corporations from doing it.
Right.
So the corporations are, most of them are in every state. So they'll let them implement all the New World Order procedures and processes.
Right.
So they're already giving up their authority, or they're just telling everyone they don't have authority and giving it to the corporations, and they won't stop them from doing so.
No, they're not going to stop them. And I mean,
no.
I think the CDC itself is just another corporation.
Well, yeah, it's a marketing agency for the big pharma corporation.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Marketing,
and that's why,
it's not even,
and that's
it's
why
no governors, more federal than Federal Express.
Right, and that's why I tried to explain this to people way back when COVID first started, because they were saying, businesses shouldn't have to comply. It's not a, it's not a law. And that's technically true. But when you go on the CDC's website for, and OSHA's website for businesses, if you don't comply with those two, they'll just shut you down.
Well, it's kind of like asking Kellogg's if Fruit Loops are good for you.
Right.
What do you think Kellogg's is going to tell you? Eat your Fruit Loops. And we advise you to eat multiple bowls of Fruit Loops every day.
Right.
And if you don't believe us, well, we'll start a nutrition corporation, the Cereal Nutrition Corporation, and we'll load it up with scientists, and they'll all wear white coats, and they'll test the hell out of Fruit Loops and find out that they're perfectly safe. The two or three bowls a day.
Yeah, and the CDC or the FDA will put them on the top of the food pyramid.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, we'll make a food pyramid, and Fruit Loops will be right there at the top, and it'll be the pinnacle food for you to eat. I mean, that's literally what the CDC is compared to the drug company.
Right.
And most people don't understand that. They won't understand that. They don't want to understand that.
And most people don't understand that doctors, I mean, they're constantly berated with pharmaceutical companies giving away free samples of their pills and everything else.
No.
And they get kickbacks for handing them out. And that's their case studies.
Yeah, they're salesmen. Doctors are pharmaceutical salespeople.
Yeah.
They're the retailers. They retail the drugs. And they get trained at Big Pharma-sponsored medical school. So what the hell else do you think they're going to teach? They're not going to be teaching about the benefits of broccoli.
No, but you can't tell anyone that that's not education. That's the funny thing about it. It's like they're basically marketed out by Big Pharma, but then because they have a doctor's degree, they're just so much smarter than everybody else. Just take your damn pills.
Right. Take your petrochemical.
I'm going to get off of this. It's been a great chat.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hold on.
This is Jungle Jim. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
All right. Okay, Linda. Thanks a lot. Linda. Good one.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for joining. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Good night. Bye. Jean Le Bon. In the house. I got 10
yeah,
minutes
back,
before I land.
I came to say, I listened back to our call from 2 years ago when we were talking about ultrasound, and I forgot what a terrific conversation it was. So I just popped in to thank you once again for that.
Thank you, John Levon. Actually, I just watched a couple days ago a really good Instagram video between Bauhaus wife, and I'm one of her Patreons. And she did an interview about ultrasounds. I think it was just about ultrasounds with another Instagrammer named Frida, F-R-E-D-A. I don't know if I saved it anywhere, but if you go on Instagram and look up Bauhaus Wife, I think you're going to find it.
Bauhaus.
You might want to look at that. She is she's a birth coach. She's a very, very, very intelligent woman. I think she's an English major. She speaks so clearly and eloquently. I believe she has a baseball team worth of children. And she is so on top of the coronavirus hoax. She was basically run out of her small town in Canada. And I don't know if she's coming back, but she's down in the Caribbean right now.
The Caribbean. I thought she was in Thailand, but the Caribbean would make sense. Yeah, I'm subscribed to her on YouTube.
No, she went to the DR. Yeah, she went to the Dominican Republic. I think she actually said that. You should.
No, I believe. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I knew that she was in some tropical place because I've seen her on YouTube, and I think I found her YouTube through your blog. So I'm familiar with her.
Yeah. You might want to see what they say about ultrasound. I don't think they made any great revelations, but I think they basically said ultrasounds are completely useless. And her whole mantra is the obstetrical interventionalist medical system is the cause of a lot of problems with birth, basically. You might like that.
I'll have to check out her work, but I'm saying that ultrasound is worse than useless. Like, there's no upside to it, and there's lots of downside. And that's been my position for years now.
She says the same thing.
Also, I have to compliment you on your chat with Human Vibration. Terrific chat. Fantastic chat.
Thank you. Well, you don't have to do much when you talk to her. She is fantastic.
Oh, she's super smart. I listened to her for the first time a couple of weeks ago through Black Pilled Radio, and I'm planning to interview some of them for my podcast sometime soon. And when you first had her on, I didn't make the connection the same one until she started explaining, oh, I'm doing this podcast. I'm like, oh, that's the girl who I heard a week or two ago. So it's a small world, isn't it? Small world.
It is. I don't know if I know Black Pilled. I know the guy with the channel called Black Pilled. He's got a really good deep radio voice, but I haven't listened to him lately.
Black Pilled radio guy, he's kind of like, you know, I'm leaving YouTube. In fact, he made a video a couple of weeks ago saying, if you're still on YouTube, and then he just started calling everyone homosexuals. It was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my life. I'm talking about someone else.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about this group who call themselves Black Pilled Radio, and Human Vibrations is part of their crew on Realize Radio or something. I'm still learning. I'm still going through their back catalog, but they seem like a very different group. And I'm telling you, they're up on media fakery. They're up on the hoaxes. I mean, you know from speaking to Human Vibration,
right.
she's pretty up to speed on things.
Yeah, drop me a link if you don't mind on Black Pilled Radio. I haven't found them yet. I guess I can find them.
I'll find it for you. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, so that's different from her own podcast with the three other people, or two other people?
No, I think it's the same thing, man. Like I said, I'm still, because I found him through Twitter. There's a guy on Twitter who has thousands of followers, and he's been promoting my work lately. So I went and checked out, you know, who else he's promoting, and then I found these people, including Human Vibrations, and I was just blown away. Like, it's very rare you find someone, and you're like, holy crap, they know, like, they know enough.
Hey.
Some people know a little bit, but when they know a lot, it's super impressive. So I'll see if I can find
it. I think your truth was playing with Restreamio today because I saw a video pop up on his channel. So I think he's maybe going to, I'm guessing he's probably going to try and do something with video, Restreamio, that kind of thing. Maybe he's going to be on Dark Matter before you know it.
Well, I hope so. Dark Matter continues to grow, keeps getting bigger and better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's a great idea to just self... People are people really need to be guided. I think we know that now, and they need to be guided to just a network where it's easy to find things. They need everything to be really easy to do stuff. Just really have to be led by the nose. So if Dark Matter is going to do that, then I think I got about 10 or 15 Twitter followers in the last 2 days, and I think it's all because of Dark Matter. Whereas I was stuck at 300 for 8 years, which makes no sense.
No, that is bizarre. So what I've done is I've posted in the live stream notes Black Pill's Twitter, their Linktree, and their YouTube channel. So, man, I recommend if you like Human Vibration, you're going to love these guys, because instead of just listening to one of them, who knows what they're talking about, it's three of them.
Are they all women?
Nope. Two of them are guys, and one of them's the... Human Vibrations is the one girl. Now, not all podcasts have all three of them. They seem to be working some kind of like a team, I guess. Like I said to you, I'm still getting my head around them. I'm still going through their catalog, so I don't know everything about them. In fact, I probably know as much as you do, to be honest.
Oh, that's all fantastic. Okay. Well, I'm going to step out now because at 8:30 I'm coming back, and I might have Mark Friesen, who's more of a political activist, on the show. You just follow me on Twitter, and once somebody follows you, you can just send them a direct message. Otherwise, they're hard to get a hold of.
Well, cool, man. Well, good talking to you. And thanks again for
Thank you for all the cross... Yeah, thanks for all the cross-pollination, cross-promotion. I appreciate your kind words. They're always always super welcome. I think that's very nice. Thank you.
I'll do what I can, man. Well, take care, and we'll speak soon.
Yeah, take care, John. LiveOn.com. Oh, Prescient's here. Maybe Prescient wants to talk. I'm out though. I gotta go for a walk, get some exercise before I have my show.
Hi, this is John French.
This is Mizum.
Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Chair.
It's me.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Was that you? Was that you, mate? I'll talk to you if you want. I was a bit tied up before. Yeah. Hey, if you're there, mate. Anyone? I'll mute for now, but if you want to pass your chat, that's...
I'm a bit of a video and a bit, and that's all, folks.